was a woman who had been married more than a few times. And one day she was having a conversation with a dear friend, and the friend had always wondered why she had gotten married so many times. And she said to the woman, "Well, do you have a reason for doing this?" And she said, "Well, yeah. The first one was a businessman. I did it for the money. The second one was an actor. I did it for the show. The third one was a pastor. I did it so I could get ready. And the fourth one was a mortician." You know what I mean? To get ready. Scripture this morning comes to us from the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Let's read it together. "Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly.' Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, 'Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel.' The woman came and knelt before him. 'Lord, help me,' she said. He replied, 'It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs.' 'Yes, it is, Lord,' she said. 'Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus said to her, 'Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted.' And her daughter was healed at the moment." Jesus went into the coastal region of Phoenicia, an area that was seldom visited by the Jewish people, because in those days, there was a lot of animosity between the Jews and the Gentiles. And when Jesus arrived, he withdrew, meaning he needed time to rest. He had just done a bunch of miracles before that, the feeding of the 5,000. He had had a confrontation with the Pharisees about being pure and impure and eating bread without washing their hands and all that. So Jesus, I believe in his humanity, was really tired, and he just wanted to chill for a little bit. And I'm sure that you and I understand that there's been days in our lives that we're so tired, we have to deal with so many things at work or life that we cannot wait to get home to that secret special place where we can rest for a while. And so he was there, probably thinking that he would rest for a while, and in comes this woman. Now, what moved her to go to see Jesus? Her desperation. She had a daughter that was demon-possessed, and she desperately needed a miracle. I don't know if you could understand what this is about. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation that you desperately need a miracle. The dictionary defines the word miracle as an extraordinary event manifesting a supernatural work of God. Now, this story is found in two of the Gospels, Matthew and Mark. Now, here, she's called a Canaanite woman because she comes from Canaanite descent. In Mark, she's called a Syrophoenician woman because she is from that area of Phoenicia, an area that was part of Syria. So it's the same woman. Now, she came to Jesus because she knew that he was the only one who had the answers that she needed. The only one who could operate in the supernatural realm so that a radical change would take place in her daughter's life, a deliverance. We know this because she dared to break some of the cultural rules. Gentiles and Jews did not get along. They didn't even speak. A woman would not be allowed. She was forbidden. It wasn't right for a woman to address a man in public, especially one who was not her husband or a member of her family. Now, the Bible doesn't give her name, but the Bible tells us a lot about her ethnic background, where she was from. She was a Gentile, a Greek. And as I said, Jesus was a Jew. It was like vinegar and oil. They didn't mix. And when she got there, we read in verse 23 that the disciples urged Jesus to send her away. Imagine, it was a male-dominated culture. Probably there were all males sitting around a table there resting. And in comes this woman in desperation, crying out, "Oh, son of David, have mercy on me." She knew that Jesus came from the royal lineage of King David. She knew that he was all powerful. She had done her homework. Jesus' answer to her request was astonishing. He said, "Let the children be fed first." The children, meaning Israelites. "For it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." In those days, the Jews called the Gentiles dogs because of the way they ate, because they mixed all the meats. They weren't kosher. They didn't wash their hands before eating. They were impure. And Jesus used that same word to address the woman. And the Greek word that is used means puppies or little dogs. Jesus displayed an unusual attitude in this situation. Because when we read the Gospels before he performs a miracle, you'll read something that says, "And he was moved with compassion." It's not that he wasn't moved with compassion in this specific situation. I believe it was that he wanted to teach the disciples a lesson, and also he wanted to stretch this woman's faith, test it, because Jesus knew her heart. All her life, this woman had been rejected because of her place of birth. Again, she was a pagan, she was impure, she was a Gentile. But the fascinating thing about this woman is that she never allowed any obstacles to stop her from getting her miracle. It's also important to realize that Jesus had not given the disciples the full revelation of the all-encompassing plan of the gospel. At the beginning, the plan has always been for the whole world. For God so loved the world. Everybody, you and I. It doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter how dysfunctional we are. What we've done in our past. When we come to him and we ask for forgiveness, everything is forgotten. The Bible says that he throws our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. The Bible says that we become a new creation. She didn't stop. She kept begging. She kept appealing to his mercy. She kept saying, "Help me. My daughter is ill. Help me. I need a miracle. Even after Jesus said, I came for the house of Israel first, or this is for the children, not for the dogs. She came back with a powerful answer. She says, even the dogs, the puppies, eat the crumbs that fall from the table. Maybe you and I would have gotten offended. Maybe you and I would have said, well, later for you. But in my understanding of this scripture, she basically said, I might be a dog, but you're a powerful God, and you got what I need. I'm appealing to your mercies, your compassion, and your love. What can Jesus do in the sight of such powerful faith? I love what he said. He said, oh woman, your faith is great. It shall be done unto you as you desire. Your daughter is made whole. Your daughter is healed. Wow. She was persistent. She interrupted him. When he wanted just to be quiet among friends, she challenged Jesus with her answer and behavior. She wanted to break the chain of bondage and sickness. She was determined to leave a new legacy for her daughter. She dared to step into a new season of life, healing, mindset, to a healthy image. I wonder how many of us here this morning are desperate for a miracle or in need of God's supernatural intervention. Whatever your situation might be, the Bible tells us that God is not a respecter of person. What he did for this woman, he'll do it for us. But do we really want it? Someone said that when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised. One of all the people that made it that we didn't think could make it. And two, all the boxes full of answered prayers that you and I could have had. But we didn't, because we didn't pray. We did not persist in prayer. We're encouraged in the Bible to pray without ceasing. You see, you and I do not have to continue to emulate or put up with the destructive behaviors, even the curses, generational curses upon our family. What is a curse? It's a blessing blocker. There are families that have a long history of incest, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, anger. I hear people say, well, my granddaddy was an angry man. My dad was an angry man. And here I am, I'm an angry man. Then why do we believe in Jesus Christ? His word says that when we come to him, we become a new creation. The old OLD is passed away. We are made new. We take the nature of Christ. As the Apostle Paul would say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. You see, You and I will never change what we tolerate. I want to say it again because it's really good. You and I will never change what we tolerate, what we rationalize. I'm this way because this is the way I've been forever. And now I'm 75 years old. No one's going to change me. Then why do we come to church every Sunday? Not for the show, I hope. We should come because we want to have an experience with God Almighty. We should walk in through those doors expecting to be changed and transformed by his love and his power. In Romans 12:2, we read, "Do not be conformed any longer by the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And it's not like we sit here and we say, okay, God, come transform me. That doesn't happen that way. The only way that you and I can be transformed is by the studying of his word, believing his word, allowing this word to be incarnate in us, to become life in us. Many times, many of us have all kinds of biblical versions in our house, 5, 6, 7 different Bibles. And we're like the story of the mama and the little boy helping his mama clean the house. And he found this big gray book. And she said, "Don't touch that book." "Well, mama, whose is it? I want to know about that book." "It is God's book." So the little boy says, "Then let's give it back to him. We never read it anyway." Your father, your mother was an alcoholic, an abuser, had an addictive personality, there's a certain illness in your family, perhaps, yes, you and I might have a tendency towards that, but again, when we come to Christ, we're a new creation. Maybe you're thinking, "Oh, but I was told because my dad was an alcoholic, I will be one." Delete! Or, "I was told that I would never amount to anything. I was adopted." Press that. Delete! Or, "I was told I'm old. Or I'm too young, I'm too dumb, I'm a failure, I'm handicapped." Delete. Renew your mind. I am a new creation in Jesus Christ. This woman, Canaanite woman, did not allow all the labels, all the rules of the culture to keep her from her miracle. My brothers and sisters, my friends, stop nursing your pain. Some people in the body of Christ are stuck in a situation that happened 10, 20, 40 years ago. And they're still nursing that same pain because they became a victim of someone else's issue. That's why counseling is so good. Find yourself a good counselor if you need to, a good therapist, someone that you can go and bring it all back out. And get the emotional healing that you might need. We all need it. Because Life is painful and dysfunctional and messed up, but at the same time, life is beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. But we cannot help ourselves or help others if we're not healthy. It's just like when we get in a plane and you know how they show you and they tell you what to do in case of an emergency. And a lot of times we don't pay any attention. Oh, I've done it a million times. But one of the first things they tell you in case of an emergency, put your oxygen mask first. It doesn't matter if you have a baby or someone next to you. You put your oxygen mask first, and then you help the person next to you. You and I need to get the healing that we need before we can help others. It amazes me how messed up we are sometimes. We have certain issues in our lives, and then we are attracted unconsciously to the person that has the same issue. And we make the same mess again. And then we blame it on God. Why did God allow it? You know, we like the victim role. He didn't allow it. We have free will. We choose. We need to be true to ourselves and look inward. And stop nursing the pain. And exercise relentless faith. Look in the mirror and see what we need. It is so much easier to go through life with all the brokenness, pointing the finger at everybody else. Oh, I understand that. Blah, 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 blah. And we tear that person apart. Because we have the same disposition and the same mess. But when you and I surrender our messes, our brokenness, our dysfunction to Jesus Christ, he turns it into a beautiful message. Is it painful? You betcha. Does it take work? Oh, yes. Sometimes we use excuses. Well, I'm an introvert. I don't like to go there. Then one day we will explode. Because there's only so much that our bodies can put up with as we stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff. And all of a sudden, one day it all comes out. And all the walls are full of that. I can't say the word. And then we say, well, what happened? We act like we don't know. And other times it comes out in the shape or in the form of an illness. Because our organs are so stressed out. Because of all the pain. Go to Jesus, my friends. Let's get the help that we need, just like this Canaanite woman. He's the only one that can bring healing to our body, minds, and spirit. And he uses doctors too. And psychologist and medication. Our lives will change if we, like this woman, press past our pain, surrender the pain to Jesus, and in return, he will give us the power to exercise relentless faith. The power to live victoriously in a new season of life. Many of us live life lying to ourselves and lying to others. I came from a perfect home. I never saw my mom and dad argue. I have a good friend. I'm blessed with good friends. And she had been married for a year, and they got into a major argument. And she thought that was the end of the marriage. So he slammed the door and left. And then she cried and cried and cried and left and went to her mama's house. And she said, "This is the end of the marriage. I never saw you and daddy argue. This is it. We argued." And the mother hugged her and said, "Oh, honey, your dad and I argued all the time. We just didn't do it in front of you. We used to take a walk out to the shed, and we would just battle it out, and then we would come back." Let us not lie to ourselves. Let us examine ourselves, as the word tells us, and be true to ourselves. Pray for wholeness and healing. I'd like to close with a quote written by Harry Beckwith, found in a book titled, "You Cannot Send a Duck to Eagle School." And he says, "It's tempting to sit and wait for life to come to you, but it cannot. Life is too busy. Life is out there. You have to go get it. You have to go for it. We must take risk. This Canaanite woman took a huge risk in order to pursue her miracle. My friends, it is choice, not chance, that will determine our future. It is choice, not chance, that will determine our future. You know, when you have kids and you spend your whole life talking to them and saying things, you have to be careful, because you think they're, well, I thought they weren't listening at time. And now their voice is behind me all the time. "You said, and you used to tell us." And the other day, one of my daughters reminded me of something that I used to say a lot. "Mom, you used to tell us that we are a sum total of the decisions that we make." And I'd like to leave you with that today. It's easier to blame other people. It's easier to say, "Oh, well, whatever will be, will be." No. Life is out there waiting for us. Take a risk, to make the right choices, to break the old pattern, the old habits that are so destructive, to break forth and step into a new season of life and blessings, to press on relentlessly, believing, as the word of God says, that he who promised is faithful. What good is it to come to church every Sunday, sit in the same old pew, and never be changed? Let us pray. Father God, as we stand before you this morning, our hearts are open to you. Our lives are open to you. We, like Job, say to you today, God, you know the way that I take. You know me well. And so we open ourselves to you today to receive forgiveness, to receive relentless faith. Fill our hearts with a measure of faith that can overcome mountains. A faith that will believe that with you all things are possible. A faith that will not allow obstacles to stop us. We receive that faith. We receive the peace that passes all understanding. We receive your word that says that we are a new creation. Help us to be bold and brave enough to confess our sins, our destructive habits, to take charge of our lives and do the right thing. For we know that what we tolerate, we will not change. And we want to be more like you. This we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.